This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is one that I've been looking forward to for a while. We've interviewed him off and on throughout the last few years. We've got a guy in here, Matt Mummy, good friend of mine. Maybe not best friends yet, but we're going to work on that today. We'll see where we are at the end of the hour.
Yeah, we can keep taking it down the road if we need to.
Yeah, maybe a couple shows down the road. But he was most recently, of course, the associate head coach and quarterbacks coach for the Colorado State Rams. We know where everything went. We know ultimately Jay Norvell was let go, and a good chunk of that staff moved along with it. So one of the reasons, Matt, I didn't want to get on here, and it's just like, let's just unpack everything and just torch Colorado State. Because you know me, I'm a Colorado State fan. I'm also a fan of yours. I want to see what the future looks like for you as well. But I thought today could just be, we're far enough away from it, and we could kind of look back and talk about some of the things. Because I got to tell you, man, it was you, I think, that stood out to me the most when Jay Norvell was hired. Obviously, your football background, your right. Father, Hal Mummy. But it was a lot of the four air raid stuff. And it was the promotion that you guys were putting into this. It really right. felt like you were excited. And you don't always see that with football coaches. And you had some good stuff because I think we're both rockers. We're both rock guys. You had this Tool rendition, and you put the CSU flag up there, and I absolutely loved it. You hooked me up with the hat that I still have. It's got the sweat thing around it, man, because I have worn the crap out of that hat. So
should throw you an orange one. I've got some orange ones from this last season.
Should have texted you that before we. Yeah, I'll make it happen.
Don't worry.
I love that hat. It's one of my favorite hats. But Matt Mummy joining me in studio, man. Well, so let's just get into it. First off, like, what's next for you?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you guys having me on. This is awesome. I've always loved, you know, being around you. And you guys always did a tremendous job of talking to our players and talking to our coaches and the relationships you guys built with us. And, you know, and Kevin and yeah. Justin were both great. And so, you know, I hold no animosity to anybody here at CSU, you know, in Fort Collins. I mean, this is just such a tremendous and wonderful place to live. And we hate to go. You know, we really do. And but it's just the nature of this business. So anyway.
It's a crazy business. I mean, radio's crazy because look what I got to deal with across from me over there. But nothing like what you guys are dealing with. Because we're talking about, okay, Jay, it was time for Jay to move on. Well, that means a lot of other people are going to move on because we know how coaches get. They come in and they want their own guys. That's just kind of the way this thing unfolds.
Yeah, and I don't know that people out there really understand the dynamic of how many people were underneath Jay and how many people are just under a head coach, right? And you have all these lives and these families that are affected by it. And so, you know, it's hard for people to just realize, like, oh my gosh, like, what does this really mean? Mm-hmm. You know, what does this mean to those families? What does this mean to these little kids that are all now having to move and change schools? You know, I did it. I mean, of course, my dad was a famous football coach, and we moved around a ton. And you know, it's funny because I make fun of it is, you know, whenever dad said, hey, we're having a family meeting, that meant we were moving.
Did you already pack before you came to the meeting? It's like, I'm ready to go.
It wasn't, hey, where do y'all want to go on vacation this year? Or what do you want to do, you know, fun as a family? It was, okay, we're moving, you know. And Colorado was my ninth state. It was my 16th move, you know. And so that might give perspective to people out there like, hey, oh my gosh, these guys are really, holy cow, they're really transient. My dad always said we're gypsies,
yeah.
You know, and that's what we do is we hitch up the wagons, we move to the next spot. But, you know, you're always just working so hard, you know, number one, to take care of the kid, the student athlete himself, you know, and try to put those young men in position to be successful. And you know, we just didn't do it enough. You know, we needed to do it more, and we didn't. And, you know, and that's tough.
Obviously, and you know, that's, again, another reason I wanted to have you on, because I want to follow wherever you go, too, because you're just one of those guys. Like I said, I was excited about when it was announced that you were coming over from Nevada with Jay. I was pumped, and I wanted to get you on the show, wanted to do a weekly and do all that stuff, too, Matt. Yeah, great. And I always look forward to those conversations. But let me ask you this. You know, going into last season, the 2025 season, there was a lot of people, radio people, writers, stuff that said, hey, this is the year. You know, right. It's the last year in the Mountain West. You need to see some progress, even from a good season the year before. Did you and Jay get that sense that, you know, the pressure was on, that this is the season? Was that almost laid out to you, or maybe to Jay, that it's kind of win or bust here?
I don't know that it was ever laid out. I think it was the feeling of the excitement of going into the bowl game first and then just not performing like we needed to in the bowl game. And it just kind of had that feeling like, ah, boy, we really need to try and hit a home run this next year. And, you know, we worked really hard. You know, the portal's now a major deal every year, right? You worry about who you're going to lose and what's going to happen. And so trying to find that consistency with a team moving forward is not easy. And so, you know, not that I'm going to sit here and make up a bunch of excuses. We just didn't get it done. We didn't do what we needed to do.
Matt Mummy joining us in the LO Fiber studios. Okay, so I wanted to clear the air on that. And again, if I'm out of bounds, you just tell me to shut up. Michael does it quite often around here. At the beginning or in the off season, I believe it was Justin Michael put a tweet out or a story out that basically led us to believe that, oh, wow, Jay Norvell is going to give up play calling duties and Matt Mummy is going to take over play calling duties. Now, that was out there into the universe. Then it kind of, the best way I can describe it, it just kind of dissolved and Jay was the play caller to start the season.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, and we talked about this off the mic, is, you know, Coach Norvell is such a great guy. You know, I'm very indebted to him for the last 9 years of my career. I mean, I've loved coaching with him. He is an offensive guy. You know, he is a play caller. He wants to be a play caller. And my dad was a play caller. Mike Leach was a play caller. You know, so this is not something that's rare, right, that Jay wanted to do. And you're right. And we went into spring and, you know, I called most of the spring. And then, you know, he made a decision when we went into camp that he still wanted to do it. And that's, you know, he was the boss. And so I was loyal to him and I believed in him. And it was, you know, his to take forward.
And but you were kind of like somewhat under the impression that you were going to kind of call plays, right?
Yeah, and I think most of the guys, the offensive players were too. So it was just, you know, the other hard part in this business is, you know, you want to do your best to have your identity of who you want to be, offense, defense, special teams, as a team, as a whole. And then you want to put these young men in position to be successful and not try to get too off base, where the biggest key to being successful is repetition. And the more reps these young men get, the better they're going to be. The less reps they get at stuff, you know, it might go another direction. And that's hard for coaches, especially nowadays with all the film that we're allowed to watch. You know, we can pull from the NFL. We can pull from other colleges. So you start watching trends. This is a road you can go down and get stuck on and start just trying to do, you know, what's sexy instead of what are they capable of?
Yeah. Well, and how much of that, too, like, you know, you talk about the play calling and what you guys ended up getting some pretty good running backs over the last couple of years. And not to say you don't run in air raid, you do.
Right.
But clearly this offense the last couple of years was kind of more of that ground and pound. We're going to go get some tough yards on, you know, and have an okay defense. I know there was issues there, too. But you talk about, you know, getting some of these other guys on the squad were maybe under the impression that this is going to be that full on air raid style of offense.
And I think you look at the bowl run going to the Arizona Bowl. I mean, we heavily leaned on the O-line. And not, you know, Jay's like, I know you want to throw it more, but I'm like, Coach, I get it. you know, we went into that season. We said, hey, Jacob Gardner, all those guys up front, we need to lean on those guys. And we did. And we successfully ran the ball well. And we still probably weren't where we wanted to be in the conference as far as offense, because if you look at us back in Nevada, we were number one every year, you know. And that was a mix of, you know, just putting good players in the right situations, especially a quarterback that could get us into the right plays at the right time and make everything go a little bit more efficient. So, you know, we had our run to the Arizona Bowl. It was great. You know, had we won that game, who knows what would have happened. But, you know, that's kind of where we sit today.
And kind of just on the final thought on the play calling thing, ultimately, you know, all that stuff in the offseason, the way it went, you were given play calling duties for a couple of games. How did that come about? Was there pressure from other people surrounding Jay, or was that Jay's decision to say, you know what, let's just try something new here?
I think Jay just, when we sat down and talked about it, it was more of look, you know, we haven't had a good run here in the beginning. Washington game, we played fairly well against a good team. You know, and he wanted to change it up and try and let it loose a little bit more, and so we did, you know, and you know, so I know San Diego State, those guys do a tremendous job. They won a lot of games this year. They were really, really good on defense. You know, I think we scored the most points on them all year over there. And then, you know, and then we come home and we catch Fresno at the right time, or another really good defense. But, you know, really jumped out on them quick, played a little more air raid style, played fast, and got the ball in the air. And, you know, Jackson Brousseau did a tremendous job, and we won that game.
There was, and then obviously shortly after that, after the you know, Fresno State game, that was kind of like, wait, stop the press. You know, this coaching staff, they ain't going anywhere yet. They're not done. I think I even tweeted something like that saying, hey, they're not done yet. And then shortly after, I think it was after the Hawaii game, the decision was made.
Yeah, and that was a hard week because you knew, you know, Fresno was, I think at the time, was number two in the conference, right? And that was a tough game for us. You know, we go out and we do what we did. Coach Summers did a tremendous job on defense. They got a bunch of turnovers. We turned some of those turnovers into quick scores. And then you get Coach Chang, another guy that we're extremely familiar with. And, yeah. And Timmy's a good friend of mine and has done a tremendous job with that Hawaii program. And we all knew that week, we were like, this is it. If we can beat Hawaii, we're going to turn the corner and we're going to make a run. Mm-hmm. And Timmy did a good job. He came off the island, came over here, and got after us. And we just, you know, we made a little bit of a threat there late in the game and gave up a touchdown that didn't get us back into it. But, you know, it was tough because walking off that field after Hawaii was a different feeling.
Did you get a sense that after that one it was going to – because I didn't know. I thought it would be around one of the bye weeks or something. If it was going to happen, it would be around one of the bye weeks or something. But did you get any kind of particular sense right after that game?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a letdown, you know, especially coming off the Fresno game because we had done so well and we scored so many points. You know, I was really hopeful we could, reproduce what we did against Fresno, against Hawaii, and really make it to where Timmy was going to have to get in a boat race.
Yeah,
you know, and it was going to have to be an offensive battle, but we just weren't capable of doing that, and it's, you know, it's disappointing.
Yeah, it is, and like I said, I mean, it's tough about what, like, this job is, because, and there's coaches around this area that I haven't liked, but you've supported them, whatever. It's really tough when it's coaches that you do like, you yeah. know, and Jay, you and I think, you know, we've talked a few more times off the air and stuff, but Jay was always gracious with his time to jump on this show and always appreciated that. Never walked away from an interview saying, wow, it sounded like he had better things to do.
Yeah.
The coaching regime, maybe before that, yeah, several times I walked away and I was like, well, that guy definitely didn't want to be on. You guys were always so gracious with your time, and it made it a little more difficult talking about the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, Jay's just, he's such a great guy, you know, yeah. And his door was always open. I mean, when he called and offered me the job in Nevada, he didn't even know who I was. You know, I mean, like, he was just taking the chance of some other guy that we were both friends with that said, hey, you know, if you want to run some air raid stuff, man, Matt Mummy's your guy, you know? And so, I mean, I love him, you know, and I'm grateful to him, and everybody loves him. If you're around him, he's fun to talk to. He just has a wealth of football knowledge, right? And everybody he's coached, I mean, he's coached Marvin Harrison. He's been around Jerry Rice. You know, he's around Peyton Manning. I mean, you were talking about icons in football itself, not just the NFL, right?
Well, and he wrote a book on wide receivers too, didn't he? Right. I have not gotten around to reading it yet. I will at some point.
Right, but he what he's done is tremendous.
Yeah, 20 minutes after the hour, Matt, are you good to hang out with us further?
Heck yeah.
We're off at 2 here, so we're hanging out. I really appreciate you doing this. It's not meant to like let's go back in the past and dredge up all these kind of rough memories, but this is a side that I don't get to see a whole
right.
lot. So I really appreciate you doing
no,
this.
No, not a problem at all. I mean, and like for CSU fans out there, God bless. We love you. You know, we appreciate you guys filling stadiums for us for the first few years, and especially the bowl run. And, you know, apologize we didn't get it done, but Fort Collins is an amazing place, and we've enjoyed our time here.
Well, I'll ask you, too, before we wrap up, too, kind of what's next for you? Because, as long as you being involved in football in some capacity, I think if you know much about the air raid, the, Hal Mummy and Coach Leach, then, yeah, I want you to be in football, and that would be fantastic. So let's take a quick break. It's the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
All year, you heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Six minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, joining me now is Matt Mummy. And Matt, this has been great, man. I don't feel like I'm grilling you or anything. Like it's
no,
not
because awesome.
I don't want you to be like, dude, that guy was a jerk, and he totally just lit me on fire in here. Because you know the amount of respect I have for you.
Oh yeah, and you got me out of the house, the wife.
Well, you can do this radio gig, man. I don't know what the future holds for Matt Mummy, but you've got a good presentation. You could do this
thing. I might have to pick your brain on that because there could be a future in this. I don't know. We'll see. Get back on the East Coast and do something. So
yeah, I'm an open book. Just avoid hiring. Any kind of producer that rhymes with Micah, yeah, or Michael, or anything like that. And that should be good. You'd be good to go. That would be my number one advice.
Number one, huh?
Mike, you're doing great, buddy. Matt Mummy joining us inside the Ella Fiber Studios. I'm sorry, you're catching strays today. That's my bad. I apologize. What's next? Do you want to get back into coaching? Do you want to go through this? Because I've seen some of your tweets. You and I have talked a little bit about it. The NIL world. It's not for everybody anymore. Great football minds.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, and you look at older coaches are starting to go, I want to keep doing this. You know, young guys are trying to figure it out. And for me, I don't know. I mean, I've got some options for smaller schools, you know, and that's a little bit of me says, you know what? I've done the small college deal. Go back and do that again. You know, and you know, you look at Ivy League schools. You know, I coached at Davidson College in North Carolina for a few years. Really smart young men and, you know, are more attached to what they're going to do later in life, right, than worrying about going to the NFL. You know, when I was at Davidson College, my dad was like, well, I guess you don't have to worry about guys wanting to go to the NFL. I said, no, these guys are going to go be general managers or owners is what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to be NFL football players. But, you know, the game is a beautiful thing. And I think the NIL and the paying has disrupted that.
Yeah,
bit.
It makes you kind of second guess because right now you're probably in that spot of maybe 100. I don't know 100% of what that future holds, but
right.
Maybe that's not a bad thing to sit back and wait for a sec.
Right, and I think that's where it is. Because again, it was really hard for us when the for sale sign at our house went up couple weeks ago, you know, our neighbors were devastated. We're devastated. I mean, we truly, Colorado's been great. The people here have been amazing. CSU people were amazing, and the fans were amazing. So it makes it hard. It makes it hard to separate when you don't want to.
Yeah, and that's what makes this business so tough, because you get there and you're doing exactly what you want to do, but there's just a ridiculous amount of pressure. Let me ask you this one, going back to kind of some player stuff with you, because obviously one of the other big stories surrounding Colorado State was Braden Fowler-Nicolosi.
Right.
And Jay Norvell talking about, you know, he was talking about NIL and under the table stuff. And he actually mentioned a team. He mentioned K-State and he mentioned the $600,000 and that, hey, our quarterbacks, they're trying to poach our guys here. What did you think when all that? I mean, I'm sure you guys had a million conversations about just that before it went public. But what did you make of Coach going public at the time on that story?
It was, you know, I think he was right. You know, you've got to try to protect your guys as best you can. I mean, we've been protecting them all our careers, you know, but now this is uncharted territory. We don't know what all this means, and you don't know where the truth really lies either. You know, and Braden probably did have a bunch of people coming after him from different directions, especially, you know, he started for 3 years. He took us to a bowl game. And so it's not a surprise that bigger schools would come after a guy like him, probably not necessarily to be the starter, right? Mm-hmm. But to ensure, like, okay, now we have insurance and he's a backup. You know, he's the number two guy and he's got experience. So it's
but that's crazy. Like, a backup quarterback, they're probably going to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to just be a backup quarterback.
No doubt.
That's crazy.
I think it may even be a million.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Certain schools, I bet you're not wrong.
Out there, some of these schools will pay it. You know, just to ensure they, because that's the deal, right? Your starting quarterback goes down. So Braden goes out for us and Jackson Brousseau now has to take over. There's an expectation still to go win all the games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, oh, well, this guy has no experience. You know, what's it going to be like? And I think JB did a good job handling what he had.
I think
to
he did. Yeah.
This year. But it's hard because the money is influencing everything. And I tell people this, I say, you know, think about it like this. Coaches try to teach young men to be accountable, to be unselfish, to be team players, to be loyal to their school, to the game. Now the money is saying, be selfish, be greedy. You don't have to be loyal. It's okay. You can be loyal for 1 year if you need to, and then, you know, if you move on and the money's greater, then go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the football. You know, I'm 50 years old. That's not the football I grew up in, and that's not the football that I coached, you know. And so it's different, and we've got to adapt if we want to stay in the game.
What were, you know, and this is what I really appreciate about Jay on that side of it, was not only was he being upfront about it, he was willing to name some names too. Do you have any examples? Like, you've been keeping it vague. You don't have to give me anything like a school name. If you did, you know, bonus points, breakfast burrito from Michael back there. Of like that really dirty under the table type of stuff. I mean, obviously we knew the story of BFN, but did you have some of those stories? It's like, holy crap, they're coming after this guy, and they damn sure should not be. We're not in that window.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, when I grew up in college football, it was, you always heard the laughing, right? The briefcase.
Yes.
You know, full of cash.
Yep, yep.
And it was delivered at midnight on the back steps of the house or whatever. Or mom or dad got a new refrigerator or car or something like that. I mean, it was all, it's still there. Now they just kind of made it legal to do it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, I think, you know, the competition, and like you said in the earlier segments, is the expectation for us to win games and go to bowl games and make the college football playoffs and all that stuff raining down on coaches and players, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. No, it's a lot on the coaches. It's a lot on the players. You're constantly, you know, you're looking for recruits. I know it's a never-ending job. You're trying to recruit, but you're also re-recruiting. Like, throughout the season, you're re-recruiting.
Right. Instead of us worrying about, okay, who's the next high school prospect, now you're staying on campus and you're like, please stay, please stay, mm-hmm. please, you know, please stay. At the same time, then you're jumping on a plane going, trying to find a high school guy to come in and develop. This is just completely changed.
Yeah. And again, we'll see if more regulations, I know there's talk of, you know, if a team absorbs a player outside of the transfer portal window, meaning they're in it, but then if you take them once the window portal window closes, there's harsh fines perhaps coming out, but I don't know if they'll get to that point because the NCAA seems like they get sued every time they try to put one of these guardrails up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the information I've heard on the NCAA is they're backtracking. They're just trying to, you know, lawsuits are coming at them from left field, right field. You know, it's just one of those deals where they're having to deal with it. And that's, you know, it's really just the organization of it from the beginning probably just didn't get as thought out as it probably needed to be.
Yeah. Right? No, I agree. I think they kicked the can down the road on a lot of things, and then finally they caught up to the can,
right,
you know, and had
right.
to make some decisions. Can I ask like another quarterback question, just because I had a good relationship with Clay Millen. Can I go here with you on this one? Clay obviously was our – when we found out Clay was coming over to be with Colorado State, you know, whoever I talked, maybe it was you, I don't know. It was somebody I talked to that gave me a good idea that he was going to be the starting quarterback as a freshman, right?
Right.
And so I'd reached out to him. I made sure the powers that be at CSU were good. So we reached out, and he did an NIL deal with us. It was fantastic in that first year. He was so respectful. He had a bad game, and he said, hey, I'm bringing in defensive guys. He brought in like three different defensive players to come into his show so we could highlight them, and that was awesome. So ultimately, fast forward, we know Clay ultimately gets benched and Braden Fowler Nicolosi takes over at halftime of the Washington State game three years ago or however many years. Now, Clay and I developed a pretty good relationship, and he kind of told me when he was ultimately getting benched, he backed away from all of his NIL deals. He told me this. He said, hey, I'm not going to be starting quarterback anymore. I don't think it's right to be getting NIL, which I thought was really respectable that he did this. And he tells me, I said, okay, so I can't go with this. I can't run this. So I had the breaking news before Kevin Lytle, by the way, Matt. You know, I did. But I didn't do anything with it because I don't want to screw over anybody. And Clay basically told me, he said, one guy wanted me to start and the other one didn't. That's all he told me. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think very difficult for Clay to go through what he went through the first year here. And I think there's some ghosts there, if you guys can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What do I mean? He was the most sacked guy in his freshman year of playing. Clay is a very cerebral, smart football player, talented, you know, hurt by COVID, didn't get to play his senior year, which kind of changed his recruiting process too. And I think that after the first year, he was affected by a lot of that, you know, and going into his second year, he was concerned about how we would be and how we'd be able to protect him. And I think it was just one of those deals where down the road, he wasn't producing like we needed to. Mm. And so we had to give somebody else a chance. And that's where Braden got the chance and Braden took over.
Yeah. And right? He was electric.
And you know, when you look at that second year, that was a pivotal year for us because, you know, we only won five games. But you look at the score, we lost three games under a minute 45. I mean, we played that CU game right down to the stinking wire. And then you look at, let's see, who else? UNLV, we lost right at the end. And there was one other. Oh, Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
So easily could have been an 8-win team the year before the Arizona Bowl run, you know, and so that's where we really needed to be, and we just didn't capitalize and didn't get it done. But, you know, I've been a quarterback all my life. I've been a quarterback coach all my career. You know, all these young men have pressures on them now to go out and produce and be successful and be a good teammate and be good in the community. I mean, there is a lot of things that are being asked of these, and that not all of them can handle it.
Yeah. Oh, especially now. The pressures are
right.
Crazy. 38 minutes after the hour, I'll take another break. Okay, you brought up CU. I just got to ask one question coming back. Just one question that might take us down a different road. But let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 AFKA.
All right, you mentioned the Colorado State-Colorado game a couple years ago that was just fireworks. I mean, that was like one of the best college football games of the year that year.
I mean, probably one of the best college football games of all time. I mean, to be a part of that entire, I say, spectacle, deal, game environment, what happened, how it went down, how the game played out. I mean, I wish we had gone for it on the 4th-and-1 and tried to seal the deal. But, I mean, all my friends from the East Coast were like glued to the TV. Mm-hmm. Can't believe this is, you know, you guys on the sidelines and what it was.
Well, right? And here you go, Matt. Full disclosure. Matt Mummy joining us in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Full disclosure. I predicted CU to beat you and not only beat you, but cover that spread.
Yeah.
That was 20.5.
I was going to say, what was the spread? I was going to say
it was bad, and you guys made a hell of a game. So I went opposite the following year. But I doubled down on it because Prime fans, just they really grew to love me. And so I predicted some night in July, hey, by the way, CSU's winning that game. And I did it every single Wednesday. I would put out, Rams are winning. I got terrible, just awful, nasty things. Anyway, that was a crazy time because I remember in that game, Shedeur Sanders is poking people in the eye. We had the crazy, we had what happened with Travis Hunter and Henry Blackburn. That was a crazy time. And then the next year building up to that game, Jay Norvell and his coaches show said that, hey, my mom taught me when I'm talking to grownups to remove my glasses and remove my hat. And then at the end, the end of the game handshake, of course, Jay being professional at the end of it because it was all fun. It was building it up. I loved it. Jay goes to shake hands with Coach Prime and says, I wasn't talking. It's a saying, and if you haven't heard that saying, you live under a rock.
Right.
I wasn't talking about your mom. And Coach Prime says, yes, you were. And then that's how that goes. And we hear later that Shadur's like telling him, don't put hands on him. Don't put hands on him. What do you think of Coach Prime? That's a long way to get to that question.
First of all, in Jay's defense, like Jay is such a nice guy. So if you know Jay, you would know he had no ill intention.
He's having fun promoting a game.
Comment. And why would you not promote these games?
Yeah.
These are rivalries. This is what people want to see. The Nevada UNLV game, oh my gosh, fireworks every single time before the game, after the game, in the middle of the game. You know, so, you know, here's what I'd say about Coach Prime. I don't know him. You know, he's... Two of his assistants, his O-line guy, Gunnar White, and then Brett Bartoloni, who's now at Nevada, were both GAs for us in Nevada. So I don't know. A lot of people probably don't realize that we had that kind of connection to CU staff. But you know what? Coach Prime did a heck of a job bringing excitement to a program that hadn't had any in a long time.
Sure. Yeah.
And we somewhat did it at CSU. We didn't accomplish our goal at all. But you can't blame Prime for doing what he's done. Now, has he done it in a different way and made it more of an entertainment business deal? You know, what, like Lil Wayne was there, The Rock was there. You know, I'm sitting here, all my buddies are like, these people are on the
sideline. How did
you
get those guys there? Yeah.
But I was like, he's making it exciting. He put butts in the stands. That's what he did.
Yeah.
And he got the Colorado swag back. I don't, you know, for a better word. But, you know, so... Now it's worn off, and so he's got to win.
Yeah, now all that stuff has gone away,
right.
and you got to win. If I asked Jay Norvell that same question, what do you think he would say? What do you think of Coach Prime?
Oh, geez. He'd be like, well, I don't know him that well, so.
Yeah, that was for a radio guy, Matt, that was gold.
Yeah.
I was like, Jay, keep going. Ooh, Coach Prime's doubled up. Then we see the video later. It's all fun, man.
No,
it's
and
entertaining.
Again, you know, and when Jay said it, I mean, it's like, holy cow. I mean, he's being innocent behind
he took it, like, he took it so seriously. Like, hey, you know, you're talking about my mom.
Right.
No, I doubt Jay even knows.
I don't
Coach
know
Brown's
your mom.
Mom. Yeah, I don't know your mom, man. It's a saying. It's a phrase. Matt, this has been so much fun, man. I wish you were staying in the area because you would be, I would invite you to do this regularly. I think it would be a blast.
Yeah, well, I got to go find a job if I'm going to do that. So I got to figure out who I'd work for or be able to do it. And again, we would love to stay here. We absolutely adore the people we hang out with, our neighbors, you know, the people around this community that have just been so special in our lives, you know. And Brady, I mean, again, I seriously can't thank you enough. you know, for you know, how our friendship has been and what it's been over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I love it, man. We'll wrap up the show. We'll get to what did we learn. That's what we do next. And
right.
Normally, we, you know, today we actually learned something, so we're kind of excited about that, right, Mike? We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this third day of March? We learned a lot, man. We bitched about the Nuggets for a while. The UNC Bears are exciting. We'll see what they do. And we had Matt Mummy join us for the 1 o'clock hour. I learned a lot. I learned a lot, and I've learned a lot from you, both on and off air. Matt, what did you learn today, man? What did we do to help you out today?
I learned that being in a padded room on the radio can be a lot of fun. Because, you know, my wife's a counselor, and so I had a whole different aspect of what a padded room meant.
Well, so then after you meet us a little more, spend more time with me and, of course, Michael back there, you're like, okay, that actually checks out. The padded room thing kind of checks out. Michael, what did you learn today, buddy?
I just want to say Brady's room has more padding than mine, so what does that say?
That's probably saying a little bit there. Yeah, Michael, did you learn anything? Did you learn anything today, buddy?
Yeah, I learned a lot of things.
Do you care to share that with the class, or is that going to be a secret? You're going to keep that in your secret? You're going to write that in your diary later tonight?
I'm just trying to
Dear
think
diary,
of another
Brady
mummy
Brady was
pun.
Mean to me, and I didn't learn anything. So, yeah. No more mummy puns. He's done like 400 mummy puns, Matt.
There's a lot of them to be had out there.
He won't stop. Once he started yesterday, he couldn't stop.
Well, mine is, I always go, well, you know, our background, like, where's mummy come from? I'm saying it's not from Egypt. It's actually German. But when you say Egypt, people are like, what? Wait a minute, what the hell?
Where's he going with that? Oh, I love it. Matt, in all seriousness, man, stay in touch, brother. Because this was fantastic, and we'll be rooting for you whatever you end up doing.
Thanks, Brady. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Michael, we'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.